Thank you, blessing, and welcome, marvelous. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 6th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabweans urge President Mugabe's government to convene an all-stakeholders conference focusing on the country's economic and political problems.
They are a failing and a very slowing down leadership. And there is a need for them to allow a process where people would come together for a national dialogue.
A Harare pastor demanding people's rights and whose videos have gone viral vows to continue protesting despite credible threats on his life.
It is both scary and infuriating that somebody who professes to be a Zimbabwean can threaten me to kill me with my own national emblem. It's absurd.
Controversy tonight as Barclays Bank tells Zimbabweans it's time to take a stand and say enough is enough. In interviews with the bank's marketing boss.
We took a creative license to use the word stand, and as you would appreciate, for you to have a house, naturally it can't be placed in the air, it has to sit on a stand.
And Zimbabwe consults NGOs and members of the public on tackling alarming poverty levels in the country.
These stories and much more coming up, stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform Council, or ZANAP, says President Robert Mugabe's government should admit that it has failed to properly run the country, and now it's time to hold an all-stakeholders indaba to address the current economic and political problems. Representatives of the council told journalists in Harare today that the state should note that it cannot do everything on its own, and therefore it is prudent to rope in non-governmental organizations, political parties and other stakeholders by convening a national dialogue conference. ZANAP convener and leader of the Zimbabwe Divine Destiny, Bishop Anselmo Magaya, says those in charge have shown that they have failed to address the needs of the people of Zimbabwe since independence. The press conference was attended by several political parties, church organizations and civic society groups. Magaya told Studio 7 they are meeting again next week to come up with programs of action.
Zimbabwe has been through various cycles ever since independence. And we are saying today we are actually in another cycle again that is very, very seriously affecting people of Zimbabwe, a crisis that we have reached the optimal level. And we are saying it's high time that we really act. It's high time we all unite and accelerate plans for action. And so this is exactly what we really were presenting to the media houses that came there. But also we were really making a demand that President Mugabe and his government should appreciate the fact that they cannot do it on their own. In fact, the long and the short of it is that they are a failing and a very slowing down leadership. And there is a need for them to allow a process where people would come together for a national dialogue, you know, so that we together would look at options and solutions to get our nation out of the crisis in which it is right now.
How important is this, considering that ZANU-PF or the government was not represented?
Yes, it was not represented as usual because they don't come where they are not presenting over such meetings. So, yeah, that's a problem. But you see, what we were doing is to plan a process where we would do two things. Number one, where we would up pressure and action demanding for transformation, demanding for socio-economic and political change, but also plans for diplomatic engagement. It's a double-edged approach. The pressure, demonstrations, but on the other hand, also engagement where we'd actually approach them to dialogue and say, look, can't you see that things are getting out of hand?
That was Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform convener and leader of the Zimbabwe Divine Destiny, Bishop Anselmo Magaya, speaking with us from Harare. There was no comment from Zimbabwe's Minister of Information.
A A Zimbabwean pastor whose videos titled hashtag this flag urging Zimbabwe to demand Zimbabweans to demand their rights has gone viral on social media. He says he will continue to protest despite credible threats on his life. The 39-year-old pastor Ivan Mawarire of His Generation Church is urging all Zimbabweans to carry their flag as a symbol of patriotism and said history will judge this generation harshly if it does not fight for their rights. Mawarire says his call is a non-violent direct confrontation, but he says he feels his life is in danger as he is receiving mysterious calls threatening him. He also urged fellow church leaders to take a stand. Mawarire tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that because Zimbabwe is headed in the wrong direction, his dreams and that of his generation have been shattered, and this forced him to speak out.
It started off through a little video I did, which I entitled This Flag. And I was sitting in my office, and I spent the day trying to raise school fees for my kids. And it hadn't worked out. I was so frustrated about the fact that I had failed to accomplish this task that every parent is supposed to be able to accomplish. So as I sat across my table, I looked at the Zimbabwe flag that sits on my desk. I looked at the flag, and the thought struck my mind that, you know, I feel like this country has stood in the way of every dream that I've tried to achieve and accomplish. And so it struck me as I looked at this flag that what the flag stands for and where the country is right now are worlds apart. These two things don't mean the same at all right now. So I did this little recording where I was lamenting the loss of the meaning of our national flag.
But some people might cringe. I watched the video myself and I said, this man is really brave. You know, judging from what happened to Zamara, for example, he disappeared last year. Are you not afraid?
I won't stand here and lie to you. I am very afraid because the history of people that have stood up to say certain things is not a very good one. But I find myself at a point where I am more afraid of a future that has nothing than a present that is completely shredded. So I said to somebody the other day who said, listen, I think you've gone too far and I think you need to slow it. I said, you know, one of the things I'm afraid of, I'm afraid that my children will judge me harshly. I am more afraid of the judgment of my children 10, 15, 20 years from now than I am of the possible action that this government may have. Whether I get arrested or whether I get abducted, I am more afraid that my children will judge me more harshly. I would rather have my children look at me and say, Dad, thank you for standing up. I'd rather have a generation of people say there was somebody who stood up and who challenged our politicians. I got a phone call. I've been threatened already. Someone called me and said that they would strangle me with the very flag that I'm holding. You know, and they were asking, if you make a decision, you know, well, what are you? Are you a citizen? Are you a politician? Are you a pastor? Because if you don't, position yourself right with that very flag you're carrying around your neck would be something that strangles you. And so it is both scary and infuriating that somebody who professes to be a Zimbabwean can threaten me to kill me with my own national emblem. It's absurd.
That was Harare Pastor Ivan Mawarire speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
At the same time, an advert by Barclays Bank telling Zimbabweans to take a stand and say enough is enough has sparked controversy, with many people reading it as a political statement blasting the ZANU-PF government. The advert says, quote, "It's time to take a stand. There comes a time when one says enough is enough, a time when one has to do the right thing, stand up for what you believe in, your inner convictions. Stop making excuses and show your true courage. If not you, then who? All of us collectively have a duty to stand up and be counted. We have taken a stand and we are standing firm." And the question many are asking is Barclays taking a stand and telling President Robert Mugabe's government enough is enough? Absolutely not, says Barclays Bank's head of marketing, Dennis Mambure, in an interview with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo.
We, as Barclays Bank of Zimbabwe, launched a mortgage product which we are giving to all our customers. The mortgage product has a tenure of 20 years and favorable interest rates that are very competitive in the market. So we took a creative license to use the word stand. And as you would appreciate, for you to have a house, naturally, it can't be placed in the air. It has to sit on a stand. So we took a creative license to make a play on the words. So essentially, we were saying to our customers, take a stand, take a house. So that's the one angle that we're putting on. Then the second dimension that we're putting on that is that purchasing a house or buying a house is not a quick decision. It's something that needs time. You need to have conviction. You need to make a very deliberate decision. The decision-making process is not an easy one. So you have to take a stand to make a decision. And at times, you have to forego quite a number of things for you to reach that decision. So essentially, we are talking about a very good product that the bank has launched, which is a 20-year mortgage with competitive prices.
Some people are reading it as a political statement on what's happening in Zimbabwe at the moment. Are you trying to generate a political conversation?
We are very apolitical as a bank, and what we do best is to serve our customers, sell them life-changing products. Like mortgages that we have recently launched. And of course, we have a lot of other products that we are actually selling to our products, I mean to our customers. And as such, we remain very apolitical. The decisions and the communications that we make are solely for the pushing of our products, for the benefit of our clients and customers.
That was Barclays Bank Zimbabwe Head of Marketing Dennis Mambure on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. Meanwhile, Nando's has released its own commercial dissing the quail bed that has become famous for its delight in Zimbabwe. In a typical humor-filled Nando's fashion, the outlet said, quote, "There's an imposter among us, Chiwuta, the overrated side chick. Join us today for some real flame grill peri-peri chicken," end quote.
Everybody, this is Nyarazo Mashamu, your girl from Tag Alliance, representing girls and young women on the new show, Girls and Development. We're going to be together every week talking about girls and development and the things that we can do for them. Tune in every Saturday and have fun with us. Thank you.
Zimbabwe has embarked on a public outreach program in an effort to tackle high poverty levels. Latest statistics indicate that over 60% of the country's population is regarded as living far below the poverty datum line. Our correspondent Mark Peter Tambe reports from Harare.
The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning has just completed a poverty alleviation public meeting in Harare designed to solicit public strategies of tackling high poverty levels in the country. Similar meetings to be attended by representatives of non-governmental organizations, state officials and members of the public are set to be held in other parts of the country, starting with Gweru next week. The ministry is expected to come out with a position paper on poverty reduction after completing the public outreach program. This comes at a time when the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency says almost 63% of the country's 14 million people are poor. Chief Zimstat statistician, Mr. Arnold Dahamba, who attended the three-day stakeholders consultation meeting in Harare, which ended yesterday, said these public outreach meetings will play a key role in addressing the high poverty rates in Zimbabwe.
The poverty is examined in the various categories such as agriculture, employment, education, and health.
The government seeks to ascertain the extent of poverty and get input from stakeholders on measures to mitigate its effects. Keith Charumbira, who is a member of Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development, said this is an intervention that needs time and more publicity. Charumbira said apart from that, it is not likely to achieve much without looking at Zimbabwe's huge external debt.
We cannot eradicate poverty without addressing the issues of debt of this country. One of the issues of this country is the issue to do with the debt. We need to understand the people who borrowed and the people who didn't return anything to this country so that they are brought to book, because it is about public funds. When public funds are not well accounted for, I mean to say people will lose confidence.
Zimbabwe owes multilateral institutions billions of dollars as the country has over the years struggled to repay loans obtained from the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, Paris Club, African Export and Import Bank, and several others. One of the finance directors in the Ministry of Finance, Eria Amandishe, said the first meeting was well attended.
In fact, we had to create two more rooms, I mean, like this one. I mean, you see this room? During the first day, it was full, but then more and more people were coming, and we had to create two more rooms. So we ended up with almost a hall. We are certainly going to take almost all of their contributions on board.
A senior official in the Ministry of Environment, Water and Climate, Ukundishora Mupanda Guta, told the Harare stakeholders meeting that poverty is having a negative effect on the environment. He said the country is losing between 100,000 to 320,000 hectares of prime forest annually due to people that are clearing the land in an attempt to eke out a living. He said his ministry is encouraging local people to engage in fish farming, beekeeping, and the better use of proceeds from selling wild animals in order to fight poverty, such as in campfire. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Mark Peter Ntambe.
Coming up,
getting a passport is now easy in Zimbabwe.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Pope Francis was presented with the International Chairman Prize for his message of hope and encouragement Friday at the Vatican.
Reports say Algeria is building one of the world's largest mosques, partially to serve as a blow to radical Islamists.
And the Deputy President of Gambia's main opposition United Democratic Party is appealing to the international community for help in seeking the release of party leader Hussein Dabo. ZANU-PF says they are going to repossess former ruling party regional chairperson Temba Muliswa's farm in Karoi if he continues behaving in what it views as a wayward manner. Our Mashonaland West correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Karoi.
Speaking at Kambo Stadium in Karoi today, ZANU-PF political commissar Sefu Yakasukwere said people should not listen to the former Urungwe West MP because they don't bring any meaningful change to the people of Zimbabwe. Kasukwere said women and the local youth need residential stands to build their own houses in Karoi, and that they are going to forcibly take Mulisa's farm that is within Karoi urban for redistribution. Kasukwere said ZANU-PF is a party that crushes anyone who challenges it. He warned all opposition parties to be strong because the ruling party has people with very big fists. He said Muliswa is too small to challenge the ruling party.
Latemba, you have a small fist, young man. You are too young for this game. We are saying it here in Mashonaland West. Temba, you can go to hell. You have no chance.
Kasukwere said ZANU-PF is going to vote for President Robert Mugabe because people vote what he stands for and not his age.
We vote, we don't vote for a person's age. We vote for what he stands for. We can't vote for a president like Temba Muliswa.
Today's rally was organized by the ruling party's Women League and the youth to mobilize them for a so-called 1 million march being organized by ZANU-PF Youth League to show solidarity for President Mugabe. Studio 7 was unable to reach Muliswa for comment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Muliswa was expelled from the party after he was linked to a group that allegedly wanted to topple President Robert Mugabe. He has dismissed the allegations as baseless.
Zimbabwe's passport offices have over the years been raided by money-seeking touts who could do anything for a passport seekers desperate to get the document for various purposes. Now, this seems to be a thing of the past, as citizens can walk into the passport office, process the necessary papers, and wait a few hours or days to get their documents. Reporter Patricia Mudadigwa has more on the details from Harare.
Makombe Building has become a pleasant sight as the passport house are no longer hounding people demanding large sums of money for processing passports. They used to demand large sums of money from people visiting the passport office as they were capable of setting up someone with passport officers at a fee. It is now easy to interact with passport officers and process one's documents without paying passport merchants. Like at any public place, one can find a queue at Makombe Building, but without the pushing and shoving that had become the order of the day. Apart from that, one does not need to sleep anymore for days outside Makombe Building or any passport office in Zimbabwe when looking for a passport. And Zimbabweans like Chengeto Fusirai, who was found helping her son to apply for a passport at Makombe Building, said this is a great achievement by the Registrar General's office.
No longer sleeping here, the lines are very short and the service is very good.
The situation at most passport offices eased before the recent commissioning of a passport processing plant at KG 6 Army Barracks by President Robert Mugabe, which is capable of processing 16,000 booklets a day. Harare serves between 700 and 1,000 clients per day. The state-of-the-art machine is designed to quicken the process of acquiring a passport in Zimbabwe. For an ordinary passport, one has to fork out $53 and it takes up to 6 weeks to process the passport. For a passport that will be processed within 3 days, one needs to pay $253, while an emergency passport that is issued within 24 hours costs $318. Harare resident Ruth Phillips said, though the Registrar General's office appears to be doing the right thing, at times the processing of passports can be delayed.
We were here a good 4 hours, I would say. I came with my brother and but it's not too bad. Everything is, they've got a very good system here and you've just got to follow each rule and stuff.
Another Zimbabwean, Veronica Mainge of Mutoko in Mashonaland East Province, said she was surprised to see so much order at Makombe Building when she went there seeking an emergency passport.
It has improved because before you would have to like come here early, really, really early. They have so many cameras now, so many people that are serving. So I think because of that, that they have so many desks and people that are helping, it makes the service faster.
Efforts to get a comment from the Registrar General Tobaiwa Mudede were fruitless, as he was said to be attending various meetings in Harare. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chiona Sojani on Time to Engage. Mother's Day is approaching and it will be this Sunday on the 8th of May. And today we have a new mother. Her name is Shungu. Shungu Jani happens to be my sister and she'll be telling us today about her experience as a new mother. Hello, Shungu. How are you?
Hi, Chichi. I'm well.
Please tell us about your experience as a new mother.
So I have a son and his name is Tyler. He is 2.5 months actually now. And it's been such an amazing journey, Chichi. Having him and seeing him every morning, even the sleepless nights, you know, I would do it all over again. You know, I never understood love until the day he was born, just how pure love can be, you know, understanding and loving and looking at this special life and knowing that it depends on you. And
so with what you are experiencing and your relationship with your mom, how has that impacted you?
Wow, let me tell you. My mom can do no wrong ever again. You know, before you have a child, you're so opinionated and, you know, sometimes you feel like she doesn't understand you. Sometimes you wonder, you know, women, you don't understand your mom, you know, as much as you think you do, and you don't feel understood as much as you'd wish she would understand you. But ever since I became a mom, I have this new love. You know, I've always loved my mom, but I have a new type of love and respect for her. And a new understanding of what it is being in her position, given that I've been put in the same position as a mom myself. And yeah, you know, honestly, I love my mom even more now that I have a son.
Can you share with us any experiences that you have gone through well and that you feel that your mom has done for you, like especially in these moments when you became a mom?
My mom has done a lot for me, you know. It's been over 10 years since my dad died. And, you know, her being a single mom, dealing with, you know, six kids, it hasn't been easy for her. Bringing me here to America, taking me through school, me having gone through college, you know, through my master's, you know, even her being there in the, you know, when I got into delivery, it's amazing just how loving and supporting she's been.
This is Chiona Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's biggest horse racing event, the Castle Tankard Rocks Borrowdale Racecourse, tomorrow on a weekend Castle Laga Premier Soccer League action, goes up a gear.
Thousands of people are expected to throng Borrowdale Racecourse tomorrow for the 54th running of the Castle Tankard on a weekend in which Castle Laga Premier Soccer League action rolls into week 5. So far, FC Platinum have proved invincible with a maximum of 12 points from 4 games, and already some sections of the football family have started pointing at Kugona Kunenge Kudada as possible 2016 Zimbabwe Soccer Champions. Norman Mapeza's side lead Capes United's Green Machine by 2 points, but Mapeza is not excited, saying they are playing for fun and will only know what happens to them come the end of the season.
We are just working. We are just working. We'll see how it goes come end of the season. Otherwise, if we are going to give ourselves some targets, we are going to put ourselves under a lot of pressure.
The Moneybags have the chance to extend their lead at the summit of the table when they play host to inconsistent Harare City at Mandava Stadium, where they rarely lose. However, Harare City coach Taurai Mangwiro thinks his team has been playing well, but unfortunately have been missing too many chances, which he believes they'll get right at Mandava.
I want to think a team that creates opportunities is better off than one that doesn't do so. So we need to continue working on our finishing, and hopefully we'll get the conversion right.
Second place, Capes United, also have the chance to stay in touch with the leaders when they entertain winless Border Strikers at the National Sports Stadium. The Green Machine are still basking in the euphoria of their memorable 1-0 win over bitter rivals Dynamos, and should have too much ammunition for a Border Strikers team that is struggling both financially and on the field of play. On the other hand, Dynamos make the long trip to Wange with the axe still hanging on the head of Portuguese coach Paulo Jorge Silva. The club's leadership has shifted goalposts, saying Silva is still in charge of the team, but have come out clear that they will review his position after the game against Chipangano. Silva himself is well aware of the pressure on him and says he hopes to give the Dimbare fans the much-needed 3 points come Sunday.
I need the 3 points to the fans of the Diamonds, and I hope Sunday give the 3 points.
Now to the Castle Tankard. A classy field of 14 runners will tomorrow take to the course at Borrowdale Racecourse to battle for the Castle Tankard, the biggest horse racing event in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Kariati. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, when we'll be discussing about the issuance of the bond notes. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.